Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. In about 30 minutes, Patricia Joy Xavier will be joining me right here on the Omega Radio Network. We're broadcasting live right now on omegaradio.org. We're broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com/xman777 and on Facebook. And to all of our Facebook friends, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast as well. So we are going to talk more today about the necessity for preparing for an electrical grid outage. The reason why? Well, turn on the news. Saudi Arabia, there's a massive attack against the oil fields, disrupting 5% of the world supply. And you just wonder if these are the signs that God is showing us about the coming problem with our energy, with our source of energy, with our electrical grid. And I'm going to present the information. I'm going to present the facts, why maybe it would be important for you to prepare for such an event. If you live in areas like the Bahamas or in Florida or Houston or Northwest Arkansas just a couple of weeks ago, you'll understand why it is important to have the necessary preparations to go through difficult times. And speaking of the Bahamas, very, very sad situation continues to develop over in the Bahamas. I was watching a gentleman who spent 3 days on the ground searching for a particular individual. And as he was proclaiming his faith in Jesus Christ, he declared that the government of the Bahamas, the prime minister, was lying about the numbers. They were saying there were about 50 people dead. He said he saw hundreds of people that were dead, that were bloating. They were unrecognizable. They were trapped in their attics or in their garages, wherever he saw them. And he said that the number is untold, and I'll leave it right there. But there are still 1,300 people missing from the Bahamas. That's a lot of people missing. But he said the numbers are still way beyond that from what he is seeing. And so very sad situation in those particular islands that were hit in the archipelago. As you know, the Bahamas are an archipelago. And why there? Only God knows. Why did that storm stop at 2 miles per hour, 1 mile per hour with 200 and something mile per hour winds? Only God really knows why those particular islands were hit so harshly. And these are beautiful people. I mean, the people I've been watching, they are beautiful people. They love the Lord. And they're coping with it. I saw one man basically as straight-faced as could be. And he was sharing how he had lost his son and his 8 grandchildren, 2 generations. And yet he said, well, this is life. We just move on. And I tell you, today is a day for doing exactly that. Whatever difficulties you may be having in your life today, God says to his people in the book of Exodus, tell the people to move forward. This is not a time to be looking back. It's not a time to be stagnant. It is time, if you're born again, to be moving forward in your life, learning. This is a learning season, and all of God's kids need to learn again. We need to be back in the scriptures. We need to learn the heart of God, learn the Father's heart, learn what the Word of God says about the days we're living in, and learn how to do what it is that God has called you to do. Learn how to do it. That's what we're doing right now. We're learning how to get the message that God has put in our heart with the unique calling he's given to us. Everybody has their own unique calling. And so we're looking and venturing out into deeper waters. It's time to do that. It's time to move forward. It's time to proclaim, but with a very balanced message, a very balanced message. As a matter of fact, when we're done with today's radio broadcast, I am going to be sharing, there's going to be a few, and this is awesome about OmegaRadio.org. It's broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week live. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And right after this broadcast, there's going to be a deliverance roundtable discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier, my beloved wife, who wrote a book called Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. That is all about equipping the saints for the spiritual battle that we face, if not every day. Oftentimes, we are facing real spiritual warfare. And then, of course, when we get the victory, God steps in, tells the enemy to back off, and we grow in our spiritual warfare. But the manual she has given is how that battle is fought, where it's fought, on what territory is that battle being fought in the believer's life. So we will always follow our live broadcast with Patricia's roundtable discussion, where she has a number of people. Sometimes it ranges from 8 to 15 people sitting around a table, and they are discussing out of the book the spiritual context that is delivered at that time. Then we have Glenda Lomax is going to be sharing a message on combating fear. We'll be following that. And then Bob Hagen will be followed by A Time for Peace. Okay, that's a 28-minute broadcast. You're not going to want to miss that one either. And then right after Bob's program, I shared yesterday on KERM Radio for an hour and 15 minutes an eschatological, theological presentation of where we are. And I think it was very important, and I hope that you'll spend the moments in a couple of hours and listen to that broadcast from KERM Radio yesterday. And then, of course, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Jay Sekulow will be on talking about political things. The Blaze will be on with Glenn Beck and his friends. Sandy Rios from AFR will be on there. Brian Fisher will be on there. And we just run on down the list. There are so many people from Daniel Seckham and others that are on the Omega Radio Network, and we're just broadcasting 24/7, something that people can sink their teeth into and be well equipped for the times that we're living in. So having said that, a couple of thoughts on my mind before we get into the EMP reality, just a few things I want to share out of that today before Patricia comes. I was thinking about the government of God today, and maybe you ponder every once in a while what it means to be a part of the government of God. And one of the things I talked about yesterday was that Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, you'll remember in the book of Acts, a cloud took him out of their sight. Remember in the book of Acts, the Lord had, he had died on the cross. He was buried. On the third day, he rose from the dead. And then for 40 days, he was on this earth in a glorified body, a type of glorified body. And he was speaking to his disciples of things concerning the kingdom of God. Wouldn't you wish you could have been in one of those meetings? And so for 40 days, he was there. But then at the end of the 40 days, he's in the Mount of Olives area, and all of a sudden, he's going up. He's literally being taken up by a cloud, and I do not believe that was a cumulus cloud. I believe that was the cloud of witnesses in heaven. I believe that was Moses and Elijah and all the angels of God and the saints of beyond time. We know that Moses and Elijah were very much alive in the spiritual realm on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus went up there prior to his death, and Moses and Elijah appeared to him. So the cloud that received him out of their sight after 40 days after his death, the angel said to the men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up, right? He said, the same Jesus that you see go is going to come in like manner. And so everything about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is he comes in the clouds. Revelation 1:7, he comes with the clouds. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he comes with the clouds. Matthew 24, Mark 13, 1 Corinthians 15. We see the Lord's coming the first time after the tribulation in the clouds. And this is important to our understanding because when Jesus was taken by the cloud, remember in Daniel chapter 7 that Daniel had a vision of one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven? And they, the cloud, presented him before the Ancient of Days, his father. And he was given a dominion and a kingdom that'll never be destroyed, that'll never come to an end. My point is, even in the New Covenant, we know that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool for him. In other words, the kingdom and power and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he received that kingdom and that dominion and that authority 2,000 years ago when the cloud brought him to the Ancient of Days, his kingdom has been ongoing since that time. Now, on this earth, what we get are rays from the sun, and each one of us represent a ray of light that is emanating from the King of Glory, from the very S-O-N himself, who is seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly realms in another dimension. But he sends the rays of light into this earth representing aspects of the kingdom of God. So if you're born again and the Spirit of God is within you, you have within you the potential to outray a measure or a particular view of the kingdom of God, which is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, again, the kingdom of Jesus Christ is in full force, in full display and power in that dimension and realm that he is in, and the light rays of that kingdom are shining on the earth in a measure. Now, we know that the time will come when the kingdom of God will be fully displayed and fully manifested on this earth, and that means the government of God will be established in the earth. Right now, you as a believer, as a ray of light from the sun, you have kingdom authority within you. You have the governmental power of Jesus Christ operating in you, that in his name you shall cast out devils. In his name you shall heal the sick, raise the dead, open the eyes of the blind. In his name you have authority. And right now on this earth, in this level or this measure of experience, you have every right to begin to walk as a king and a priest in the kingdom of God, bringing the glory of his kingdom everywhere you go in your sphere of influence. In other words, you are training, you are being cultivated, you are being groomed, you are being developed to be a ruler within the kingdom of God, especially when it makes landfall on this earth at the real second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about that. You're not going to want to miss that conversation about the first coming of the Lord after the tribulation, which he never makes landfall. But then his second coming, where he comes to set up his millennial kingdom, that's where Jesus said, some people will be governing 5 cities, some people will be governing 10 cities. In the millennial kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, his government will be all over the earth for 1,000 years. But the point is, while we're waiting for him to come and set up his kingdom and manifest his glory all over the earth, his kingdom is alive and well right now. And you are a light ray. You have that kingdom within you if the Holy Spirit of God is within you. Now, that doesn't exclude you from spiritual warfare or battle. It just means that the kingdoms of this world are at war with the kingdoms of our Lord Jesus Christ or the kingdom of God. But every one of us as born-again, spirit-filled believers have access and authority and privilege and right to exercise the dunamis power of God over all the works of the devil. Because we know that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. We know that according to the book of Timothy, that he destroyed him that had the power of death in Hebrews chapter 2. He abolished death in Timothy again. So, what is important for you and I in this world is to exercise our spiritual authority, dominion, and right, and the privilege we have been given. And that's what it says in Psalm 149, that we are to execute the judgment that has been written against the powers of darkness. 2,000 years ago, when our Lord completed his work on the cross, he nullified, he disarmed, he defeated the powers of darkness. He made an open showing of them, right? And yet it's the ecclesia, church, that has been given the mandate to execute the authority. 6,000 years ago or so, or even before that, when God created the first man, he gave him dominion and authority to have rule over everything on this earth. Well, that was taken by sin, and the devil took that power, the keys, the authority, the dominion. But when Jesus died, the Bible tells us that he rose with the keys of hell and death in his hand. And he gave those keys. Remember, Peter, one of the disciples of Christ, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom, not to start a Catholic church, but to give dominion to the people of God. And right now, as a believer, you have access, you have authority, you have the keys of the kingdom, that whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is basic Christianity 101. We understand that. But it is time for the ecclesia, the church of Jesus Christ, to begin to walk in that authority, that dominion, that power, that right, that privilege, because it's been granted unto you. God did not give you the Holy Spirit to get goosebumps and hang from chandeliers. He gave you the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit to do warfare, to press back the darkness, to invade it with the light that is on the inside of you. What is your authority? It is the power of the name of Jesus. When you speak the name of Jesus in faith, in whatever situation you're in, when that name comes out of your mouth, it moves mountains. I'm telling you, it shatters the darkness. The powerful name of Jesus, the Christ from Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach. So be encouraged today with the authority that is in you, which means whatever you're going through right now, exercise the name of Jesus. Go back to the word of God, get the covenant promises, declare them, and you will see a victory. It doesn't exclude you from the spiritual warfare in the battle and all the stuff going on in the world. But the more we carry our cross and rid ourselves of ourselves, and we take on more of the firstborn son's identity, his character, his conduct, his likeness, his image, the more we're going to walk in the liberty of the Spirit of God. So be encouraged. You are in this earth, but God has not forsaken you. He has not forgotten you. And in his name, there is power. It is the very name of Jesus in your heart, in your mouth, that will give you the victory. If you really know him, if you really understand him, you can have the victory in the midst of a world that is imploding, the midst of a world that is going further away from God in rebellion. The rebellion is very real. And it's designed to take you away. It's designed to break you, to tell you to put down your cross, to stop following Jesus, to get involved in other things. But you can't do that. You are the pilgrim, and you are on a journey. The Pilgrim's Progress. You know the old famous book, John Bunyan, about Pilgrim, the Christian, that began the journey to the celestial city. And all the powers of darkness are aligning themselves to stop you. So you're not trying to save the world right now. Jesus is the savior of the world, and he will have deliverers and saviors with him. But right now, your walk through the earth is learning to be a man child. In other words, a huios, son of the living God, to grow up and exercise your dominion and authority everywhere you go. The devil will make war with you, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have the victory. And the victory is your faith. You're more than a conqueror. You always triumph according to the word of God. You have this. You can do this in the name of Jesus Christ. You're going to continue to journey. You're not going to miss it. If you happen to fall down to the left or fall down to the right, get back up, get on the right path. And again, this is the journey of every one of us. So be encouraged today. Be very encouraged. And may the Lord bless you. Now, let's say in a short period of time, okay, let's just kind of put this together now, that something happens in our world. Let's say something happens in this country, America, or what, in some other country like the Bahamas, right? Like the Bahamas, a great example. What happens if you're born again and you survive the Holocaust, okay? You survive the catastrophe. And you're walking as a believer in the Bahamas right now. And I'm going to tell you something. The only person I saw crying and panicking with that spirit of, oh, you know, the only one I did was a woman that never once mentioned the name of Jesus. Every other person that I've seen had control of their spirit. They understood the situation, but they gave glory to God. Now, let's say you or I or all of us together, we are confronted with a catastrophe like just happened to the people of the Bahamas, or what happened during Katrina or 9/11 2001, okay? There's a number of situations. But let's say this happens on a larger scale any day now. You're going to need to know that the Spirit of God inside of you will navigate your life. You're going to learn something. I'm going to learn something. When all is gone, I mean, this one man in the Bahamas, he lost his son and his 8 grandchildren. 2 generations of family gone. And yet he said, we still have to move forward. We still have to go on. We still have to go on. Where did he get that from? He got that from the training of years of experience with his walk with the Lord. He did not say, my son is gone, my grandkids are gone, I've lost 2 generations, I've lost everything I have, this God is no good, I'm not going to serve him anymore, I'm giving up on God, throwing in the towel. He did not do that. Why? Because before the event, he knew God was good. And now after the event, he's not going to just turn in and change his mind about God. He had an experience with God. He had history with God. And you and I must come to that place of, we know, regardless of what happens in this world, regardless of what it is, that we do not abandon our faith, that we do not abandon our hope, and that we do not abandon our love. These 3 remain: faith, hope, and love. Now, what is potentially ready to happen? A possibility, okay? Just a possibility. Is we are about to go through a crisis. And it's not so far-fetched when you consider what's going on in the world. We're talking about going to war with Iran right now. Who knows how many sleeper cells Iran has in the United States? Who knows who's aligning themselves with Iran? If the United States goes against Iran, does that mean we go against Russia too? Does that mean we go against, well, who? China? I don't know. What does this mean? Well, it's dancing towards the 6th trumpet. It's moving in that direction of a great war that will take out nearly 2 billion people off the face of the earth. That's a big war. Okay? So whatever the crisis is, and the crisis I'm going to talk with you about for just one moment today is the crisis of an electromagnetic pulse, simply the loss of the electrical grid, the loss of electrical power. We need to talk about it. It's very real. I've talked about it for years. And so have many other people, but it's very real. There's something that is going to darken the earth in the clear day. And according to Amos chapter 8 prophecy, which we begin to see it fulfilled before our very eyes. So there are 6 reasons why you should be prepared now for coming electrical grid disruptions. Okay, so let's get into it. I've been reading a book here. And this gentleman put his whole heart into it. These are the facts. He studied it out. You're going to see that in just a moment. The number one reason, or reason number one, why you should be prepared right now for coming electrical grid disruptions is that the U.S. power grid is vulnerable and dangerously outdated. The United States has an antiquated, near-crippled power grid that relies on really old technology and parts, many of which aren't even made in the USA anymore. Some experts call our power grid third world. For proof that it's old and decrepit, You don't have to look very far. Now, here comes some facts about our power grid, the thing that we take for granted every day. Remember we were talking about the loss of convenience a few weeks ago, that we just love to turn the light switch on or push a button and everything is convenient? Well, here are the facts about the possibility of losing the power. Remember the weird 2013 Super Bowl power failure that lasted 34 minutes at the New Orleans Superdome? Think about it. This embarrassing grid meltdown happened during the nation's biggest sporting event, the most hyped TV spectacle of the year. Billions of dollars were pumped into this event, and yet the power goes out. Well, guess what? It turns out to have been a localized rolling blackout that was automatically triggered by an aging control unit that's designed to shut down when it gets overloaded. Basically, the power demand from the stadium was greater than the local utility's equipment ability to both predict and supply it. And so this safety valve shut the whole thing down. Then there's the famous Northeast blackout of 2003. Do you remember that? It was the largest blackout in U.S. history, where 50 million people from Ohio to New York City and even up into Canada were suddenly plunged into darkness. What happened? The blackout began because a tree limb fell on the wrong spot and caused a cascading chain reaction. And get this, it took just 10 seconds for a power surge in Ohio to blow things out in Manhattan. 10 seconds from a tree limb. More recently, a massive power outage left tens of thousands of people in our nation's capital without power. From the State Department to the White House, museums on the National Mall, and many federal buildings were all completely in the dark. So what caused the widespread outage? The answer was 43 miles to the south at a power switching station in Riceville, Maryland, where an outdated transmission conductor simply fell to the ground. It just plain wore out. And I could go on and on. These examples are just a quick glimpse at the evidence that our nation's power grid is growing old, worn out, and is dangerously vulnerable. It's simply been ignored and fixed with Band-Aids and duct tape. The truth is, you need to be ready for the major mess all this neglect will create down the road. It's coming. The good news is that the problem is starting to get noticed. In fact, the national power grid has been slowly collapsing under its weight for some time. Forbes magazine says the U.S. electrical grid capacity has grown by a mere 7% since 1990. But get this, demand for electricity has expanded by 25%. No wonder the grid is becoming so unstable. Look at the facts, and here are a few facts. The United States power grid has more blackouts than any other country in the developed world. It's an aging and unreliable electric system. Number two, data released from the Department of Energy and the North American Electrical Reliability Corporation shows that Americans face more power grid failures lasting at least an hour longer than residents of other developed nations. And it's getting worse. The United States grid currently loses power 285% more often than it did in 1984 when record keeping began. Number three fact, the power outages cost businesses in the United States as much as $150 billion per year, according to the Department of Energy. Number four, the power grid has morphed in size tenfold during the past 50 years, pieced together over time like an unstable tinker toy creation. And number five, and not long ago, the U.S. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and the National Academy of Sciences agreed. America's overloaded power grid operates with dangerously few spare transformers, antique transformers that are scarce and hard to get. And then finally, there are over 170,000 miles of voltage transmission lines that depend on these ancient transformers. Transformers that are near the end of their service lives. They supply 125 plus million houses with the daily power on which they depend. We all depend on these highly deteriorated transformers. The evidence is clear. Our energy grid is overripe for massive cascading failures. Even the National Guard and regular military are actively planning for and rehearsing for this pending disaster. Well, that's pretty disturbing news. And you'd think the press would be all over it, but no. Instead, our modern media is busy reporting on Caitlyn Jenner's newest hairstyle or Obama's latest golf score. So by and large, the dangerous state of America's energy grid is still a non-story from the mainstream media. Now, there have been plenty of power outages, but our power grid's new systemic failures aren't making much news, at least not yet. But it can't be denied, our antiquated national power grid is a huge disaster waiting to happen. So whether it's being reported on or not on the mainstream media, the fact remains, the power grid is being stretched like an overinflated balloon ready to pop, and nobody's really taking care of the issue. So why should anybody? According to this writer, Barack Hussein Obama, while he was the president before and leading up to the 2016 elections, was happy to sit back and allow Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals scenario to unfold before it means he can push his socialist agenda even further. And folks, I got news for you. It's true. Barack Hussein Obama was definitely part of the communistic agenda, trained up under Saul Alinsky and some of the other big names, Frank Davis and all these guys. Hillary Clinton, Saul Alinsky, student. I mean, it goes on and on. Definitely socialism, definitely communistic ties, Islamic ties. It goes on and on. It's all designed to play out the left's advantage. And let's not forget Obama's puppet masters. These are Hillary puppet masters, too, and handlers that pull his strings. Their plan is total control. So that's just the unvarnished truth. And believe me, Obama's army of central planners do have a solution lined up and ready to shove down your throat, and it's not science fiction either. And now we're going to get to reason number two. But before I go any further, again, we're stating the facts and the six reasons why people should be prepared. We haven't even gotten into electromagnetic pulse or CMEs or anything else. What we basically covered today was the reality that our electrical grid, because of the growing population, the usage that we all desire to have with our computers and our electricity and all the things we do, there is a massive demand on our electrical grid. And at some point, and it's already been taking place through years, at some point, without it being completely repaired, it remains vulnerable. It remains vulnerable. And we saw that sometimes the parts just wear out. A tree hits the wrong spot in the grid. 10 seconds from Ohio to Manhattan, surges and blackouts. And this information is going to increase. It's going to become more intense, but it's factual. I'm presenting it to you. So now what happens in this first case scenario? The grid goes out. How are you going to get through? I mean, a generator is a very good thing to have. We found that out in our two-day debacle. But I can't imagine running that constantly for weeks or months. Good morning, Patricia Joy Xavier. Welcome to the broadcast. I need you to come in just a little bit. Say hello to our family out here, our friends on Facebook, and join me on the air. How are you?
I am doing very well. And guess what? It's another day to get it right.
It certainly
is. I'm not kidding when I say that for this reason, because the days are shortening in so many ways, and the time is so near for his coming, that learning to get it right is the very most wonderful thing that I am experiencing right now. And I hope others are too, not only by this broadcasting, but by the many broadcasts that are going in the airwaves by social media in these days we're in.
Patricia, we could never say we were without warning in our generation. We have been so warned for so many years about so many different things. Some people simply bailed out. They said, I don't want to hear that anymore. They've gone on to live their lives. And yet we see all around us these disruptions, like the Bahamas, like Katrina, like 9/11, like school shootings, like active shooting scenarios, like massive hurricanes, like all these earthquakes or fires or damages. And it's like the world is coming into the very real lens of signs of the times. And yet people don't want to be a part of that. They don't want to deal with that. And there's a reason for it, but is it part of the demonic deception to catch people off guard where they're not prepared spiritually, solically, and physically?
Well, you asked a question when you first came to the radio program today, and that question was, what should we be doing? As far as I'm concerned, and I know there are many different views on this, we should be learning spiritual warfare. We should be understanding about putting our armor on and what that entails. And truthfully, that's why I wrote my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. The Lord moved in my heart to do so because of the timing in which we're in. And what I consider the most important thing is to learn the very spiritual aspects of spiritual warfare, because Jesus said in his word, when he was on the face of this earth walking and talking, he said, what I do, you shall do also. Even greater things shall you do, because as he was rising up, he said, because I go to the Father and I send my spirit unto men. Now, the Holy Spirit is this truth of all things, including Jesus Christ, Father, and himself, the Holy Spirit, teaching us all things that we should know, all things that we should do in the times in which we're in. And what came to my mind because of the terrible hurricanes that have been hitting the world, not just our nation, not just the Bahamas, but all over the world, is that when Jesus was in the storm, he was fishing along with the fishermen. And all of a sudden, no, he wasn't.
He was sleeping.
He was sleeping.
Yeah.
But he was there. And then all of a sudden, a horrible storm came. And it made the apostles so frightened and so afraid. And it was at night. No lights. Dark. The lights were out. But then Jesus came walking on the water. And he bid the apostles to come also. And Peter did. And he started to walk on water until he became afraid. And that's why understanding and knowing about fear is very important. But there was another time they were in the boat and a great storm came. And Jesus rose up and he said to the storms, what did he say?
Peace be still.
Peace be still.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he said, what I do, you shall also do, because I go to my Father and send the Holy Spirit unto men. And then with this knowledge, with this understanding, we should be able, no matter what condition we find ourselves in, to stop storms, to be able to have faith and knowledge to know that what Jesus did, we can do also. In the times we're coming, this is how we're going to be kept safe, not just by the hand of God, but through the hand of God in knowledge, understanding of what he did. We should do all.
All right. So when it comes to spiritual warfare, and the reason why what you're saying is very plausible, is that you don't have to be in a hurricane. You don't have to be in an active shooter case. You don't have to be in some major problematic situation to have spiritual warfare. You could be at your job. You could be driving down the road. You could be in your home. You could be out shopping and encounter spiritual demonic warfare because you are born again, because the Spirit of God is within you, because you represent the kingdom of God. So knowing how to fight the good fight of faith and how to stand in the battle, you know, just in daily moment-to-moment life is very important for God's kids.
And not only for our everyday living in the things that we have to deal with, because the word is very clear, we do not fight against flesh and blood, but also because we will come up against severe situations. We could be in a mall and
an active shooter
could come in and start.
So you better be ready.
We better be ready, not only for ourselves, but for others, and stand up and say in the name of Jesus Christ, cease in what you're doing, and know that that gunner would have to cease from what he's doing. And it has been done. It's been done numerous times already. There are videos about it that you could see and watch. It is not just a good idea. It's a God idea. And we begin to understand true warfare, spiritual warfare. We understand how much power God has given us. He has given us his power to overcome Satan, the flesh, and the world.
All right. So how many people out there listening right now understand that what God wants to do in your life is equip you for the days that we're living in? So equipping you is not just with external armor or weapons. It is an internal spiritual environment of your heart that you will have peace in the midst of the storm. And that was the point of Patricia bringing up the two storms that Jesus was involved in. When it was dark, there was no light, and the waves were raging, and the wind was blowing, and yet he had this authority to deal with that, that no harm came to anybody around him in his sphere of influence, So when we're navigating our lives around Jesus, and we operate in the power of his name, we need to understand that there may be destruction all around, but it shall not come nigh thee. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So God is wanting to equip you and I inwardly, intrinsically, and we need to be taught, Patricia. We need to be spiritually educated about how the Spirit of God works within us and teaches us how to be spiritual warriors in days of peace, in days of conflict, because even the days of peace on earth can afford a great big spiritual battle in the unseen world.
Amen. He's given us authority, as you have already said, to cast out devils, to heal the sick, and to raise the dead. It's been given, but mankind has not yet grasped the power that has been given.
That's right.
But he is giving his authority to all who will believe. And I know it sounds like a fairy tale, but it's the absolute truth of his word. And we must begin to grow in this knowledge and understanding. And if anybody wants to be involved, to read the book that I wrote so that they could become the warriors and the Christian power on earth, they really need to begin. And they can contact me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com.
Yeah, and what's so rich about Patricia's book? It's not just about the external battle out there. The book was really written, Patricia, as I understand, as I recall, I know this is true. You wrote the book so pastors would begin to recognize what was going on in their congregation, because when you came out of the New Age, when you came out of the occult, and you were totally born again by the Spirit of God, you walked into churches and you had an ability, God had gifted you, to see what was going on in people's lives. And they were bound up, and you went to the pastors and you said, hey, what's going on with the people in your church? I could see spirit on them, demonic spirit. And he said, oh, that's not true. Christians can't have demons. And out of that conversation and experience, you got into the deep study. You discovered that Christians can have demons. We deal with them all the time. People walk into the church with demonic issues. And the book was written to enlighten pastors, but it's also designed for the individual to understand how to get delivered from the bondages in their own personal lives, to get set free from the generational bloodline curses, how to recognize the demonic presence in your own soul and the territory that this is being fought on. So yes, it's an imperative book for God's people, because we need to go forth as an end time army, not bound up in the afflictions of the past or some demonic familiar spirit or family spirit that is upon us impeding our progress in Christ. It is a unique read. Benjamin Baruch once said that when he was reading the book, the anointing is on it to set the captives free while they're reading the book. So I would concur and agree that that book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, which you could also buy on Amazon, by the way, is available to you. Get a copy of the book if you're struggling with spiritual warfare in your own heart or mind or soul.
Mark 16:16-17 said that the believers shall cast out devils. They shall heal the sick. They shall speak with new tongues. And if anybody tries to come against God's beloved, they will have to deal with him.
Amen. And by the way, if you cannot afford a book because your life is just in that position, just let us know. We'll send you a book. That's not a big deal to do. And we know that Christians, Patricia, deal with fear. They deal with pride. They deal with anger. They deal with lust. Christians deal with these issues, and they're not just works of the flesh. It is that flesh nature that the demonic preys upon and seeks to exploit those areas of the flesh.
If you're still dealing with anxiety, if you're still dealing with anger and stress and fear, you're still in iniquity.
Amen.
And you can overcome that work. Christ already did on the cross, but you must be aware of what your bondage is so that you can work as a commander of the army of God under the great commander, Jesus Christ, and become the wonderful call that God has given soldiers of the living God.
So consider this also, that maybe the spiritual battle that you're going through is not just your own. Maybe it is what the Bible warns us about the iniquities of our fathers being visited upon the children to the third and fourth generation. It is possible that your great, great, great grandpa murdered somebody, for an extreme example.
And you may not know.
And that is not just a sin. That is iniquity that creates a bondage. The difference between sin and iniquity is that iniquity forges chains that are very powerful, and they visit the bloodline. So if three generations ago, your grandpa, your great-great-grandpa murdered somebody, in the spiritual realm, that created iniquity. It's on your life, and you're suffering the consequences for their sins. Maybe your great-great-great-grandfather was into all kinds of horrible sexual perversity. Well, that may have visited you, and you're under that, not because of anything you've done, but because of what they did, and then it began to exploit you and brought you into the bondage of pornography or whatever else. This is iniquity that forms a bondage. Drugs the same way. Drugs, alcohol, these are particular iniquities that create bondages that hold generations in captivity.
Well, you know, the Eastern religions call it karma. It is not karma. Karma is coming back as something, another human being, as an animal, something other than what you were before to learn lessons, to overcome. No, this is totally different. This comes through the bloodline. You have never been born on this earth before until you're born by the Lord Jesus Christ and the living existence that you have. This is caused by the bloodline, the DNA. It's much more scientific.
And there is no karma. Jesus said it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment.
Exactly.
We don't come back as different animals or planets or anything
and
like that.
And he came on the cross. He went
took all the karma
to take all karma, if that's what you want to do, to believe.
Right. And again, these are the things that the book actually go into detail about. I mean, there are paragraphs within this book that, you know, we at the roundtable discussion, when we break it open and we start talking about it, we don't get very far because there's depth to it. It's all coming out of God's book, the Bible. It's coming out of an experience of an individual, Patricia, that walked in New Age, metaphysics. She walked in the occult. She understood that realm. She did it ignorantly. God totally set her free through a revelation of his son, Jesus Christ, to her heart in a baptism of the Holy Spirit.
He started to reveal to me what was true freedom, and that the other was just another bondage, not understood truly. And so he showed me what true freedom was, and that is to receive his grace and his mercy for the work on the cross the blood that was shed, and it isn't an ugly thing. It isn't an evil thing. It's the most glorious thing ever given to mankind.
Amen. So, Patricia, here it is. We have a situation right now in the Bahamas that we could look at as an example of people that have just gone through a catastrophe. The survivors are now talking about the looting that's going on from people from another country that actually from Haiti, the Haitians. They had more population of Haitians in this Abaco Island that was devastated than the Bahamians. And so they're looting now. He's saying, the one man was saying that these young kids, the Haitians that live there, are breaking into the Ace Hardware stores. They're getting weapons. They're going around. They're looting, robbing, stealing, raping. They're doing what we saw in Katrina again. And so if you're born again and you survive that storm and you were there, and there are many Christians that are there that survived, what now are the spiritual realities that need to take place in their lives? They're dependent on water from outside sources. They're dependent on food. They're seeing dead bodies all around them, bloating beyond recognition. It's a frightful scene. But if you're born again, what is the secret to their success?
To trust in God altogether and to do what is necessary to invoke the wonderful authority that he has given us in his name. And I'll tell you one thing that I believe so strongly is that this storm that hit them was intelligence. It had been backed by intelligence. Do you know how often on the radio or TV I heard the announcers say the storm, the people that were announcing the storms that were coming, say that it has a mind. It's acting as though it has a mind. Well, it does. It has a mind. It has a mind from Satan himself. And it is a ruling spirit over all of the air, because he is the ruler of the air. And it is allowed under certain circumstances to have its way, backed by man's intelligence, may I say, and intellect and technology. So it has a mind. So we must rise up and understand how to fight warfare against such spiritual demonic presence.
Now, Patricia, you're bringing up an excellent point, and I hadn't thought about this. Is it possible that the population of the Haitians that were there, and now this is what we're hearing, and they had a greater population than the Haitians on Abaco Island, that these Haitians, they practice voodoo. They are into deep voodoo, and Haiti has been exposed for that for a long time. Is it possible that the Christians, the Bahamian Christians on that island, which is basically a retirement island, as I understand it, they're more old, elderly people, and yet the enemy came into that territory and began to do their altars of witchcraft and voodoo and their corruption and they brought something to that island, and because it was not confronted, because it was not dealt with, because it was not brought out, that devastation came. The righteous and the unrighteous were involved in a massive storm. Now, you know, I don't know if that's true or not, but is it possible that as we in the United States of America continue to open our doors to these foreign nations that bring their foreign gods and build their altars of idolatry to whatever it is other than what this country began, is a reason why we're seeing it? And because there's not a confrontation of the Christians in this country confronting and standing up and speaking out against what is being brought in, that we're all reaping what is taking place?
We're not doing spiritual warfare. And it's absolutely true, because I believe, and we have been there, we've been in the Bahamas when it was fully Christian. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes. Well, 98% of the people on that particular island.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're fully, 98% were Christian.
And I'll bet you that island right there was not touched, because there were only two islands that were really damaged. There were over 700 islands in the archipelago of the Bahamas, and only two of them were really devastated.
They knew how to do spiritual warfare.
I believe
and
it.
And this is what I am trying to get the population to understand and to know, especially the Christian population, and for those that are not Christians to come in and understand that we are spiritual warriors. And God has called us to that at a time such as this, like no other time. And if we could begin to learn the battle call of our Lord Jesus Christ, hear his battle call, and come into warfare, spiritual warfare, and not be afraid of Satan and his devils, because they have already been overcome, we will be the most delighted people and saved in these times. We will be the people that are protected.
The head and not the tail, preserved. Patricia, we have a call coming in. We've got 6 minutes left in the broadcast. What I'll do is I'll take the call. I know our friends on Facebook won't be able to hear the question, but we can hear the comment, and we'll go ahead and replay it. Good morning, Bill. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, pastors. Pastor, your dissertation there at the beginning was excellent, and Pastor Patricia filled in the voids. And the whole time I kept thinking that the Word of God says, "My sheep know my voice," and the question is, do the sheep know his voice? There's an old saying, there's a Christian in every foxhole. Don't be the Christian in the foxhole that cries out only when times of trouble come. I think what Pastor Pat is saying is you need to be connected on a daily basis, regularly, continually. That way, when these times do come, you'll hear his voice and you'll do what he says.
Amen. Very good. Well said. So let me go ahead and repeat that information. Again, it was an encouragement from one of our friends out there that calls in regularly to the broadcast, just encouraging that we don't want to be Christians in the foxhole. We want to be Christians right now, every day. And a thought that really came into my mind as he was talking, Patricia, was that the body of Christ needs to be educated in spiritual warfare. I mean, when you join the army, the Marines, the military, you go through boot camp and you get fully equipped in the battle that you may face, especially in wartime. And there's no doubt we are in a cultural war. We are in a spiritual war. We are in a political war. We are in the heat of a battle right now. And Christians are basically, they're moving forward in their battle with old technology. You know, old knowledge that they read 25 years ago at church or something they learned. It's an old technology, and you cannot go into this battle with old understanding or outdated wisdom, if you will. There is a spiritual revelation. There's a spiritual knowledge, an updated technology in the Spirit of God, in the kingdom of God, for people to be victorious. And if we go in doing it the way we've always done it, rather than really understanding what is going on, we're going to see many casualties in this war.
Well, the Christian's been taught to pray, and we ought to pray. The Christian has been taught to fast, and we ought to fast. But what we need to pray and what we need to fast is not constantly worrying and concerning ourselves about family members and everyone around us, but to become that great light and that power in which God has called us to be, so that we can help teach them the way to warfare and to overcome the things that have been such a burden in their lives, and then know that they have the power to cast out devils and to heal the sick. They need to understand. They need to know how to stop the storms and the winds that are coming about into their particular area. This has been done many times, stopped because of prayer and because of intercession of warfare. Warfare is essential in the times we're in. There is a true army we are fighting. It is Satan and his demons, and we are Christ and Christ
ambassadors. Yeah, hallelujah. Patricia, we're down to 60 seconds in our broadcast today. We definitely want to encourage people to get the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And then again, go back to the Word of God, look through the biblical lens at the signs of the times, interpret the times properly, and get ready to stand in a time of great tribulation. Get ready to stand confidently with wisdom. I know how to use. I have the superior wisdom. I have the superior weapons because I am from the kingdom. The powers of darkness don't possess the superior intelligence. The kingdom of God has the superior intelligence. That intelligence and wisdom is revealed in the Word of God. Our obedience to the Word of God is critical. We cannot afford to be lukewarm. We cannot afford to be compromised. We cannot afford to have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. We must shift one way or the other. And this is not a time to go back or remain stagnant. It is a time to move forward. So in just about 30 seconds, right on the Omega Radio Network at omegaradio.org, there is a roundtable discussion going on right now with Patricia Joy and her roundtable folks. Right after that, Glenda Lomax, Bob Hagen, and then the message that I taught on Kerm Radio yesterday, and then 24/7, it's going forward. Trust you had a great day today. Goodbye to our friends on Facebook, and goodbye to everybody. Patricia, say shalom.
Shalom.
All right. God bless everybody. Have a blessed and super day. Right now, omegaradio.org. Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights.